Welcome to Education Perspectives. I am your host, Liza Holland. This is a podcast that explores the role of education in our society from a variety of lenses. Education needs to evolve to meet the needs of today and the future. Solving such huge issues requires understanding. Join me as we begin to explore the many perspectives of education. I am so excited to welcome Dr. Jason Glass to Education Perspectives. Dr. Glass is Commissioner and Chief Learner at the Kentucky Department of Education. Glass, who is a native of Brandenburg, Kentucky, has been Commissioner of Education since September 2020. He previously was Superintendent and Chief Learner of Jeffco Public Schools in Colorado since 2017 and was Superintendent of Eagle County Schools in Colorado from 2013 to 2017. In 2016, President Barack Obama nominated Glass to the National Board for Education Sciences. He has received numerous awards for his work, including the 2019 Frank DeAngelis Inspiration Award, 2018 Jefferson County Administrators Association Leadership Award, 2017 Jefferson County Administrators Association Friesen Award for Innovation in Education, Columbine Masonic Lodge No. 147's 2017 Denver Founders Award for Education Stewardship, and a slew of others, including being nominated in 2016 and 2019 for Colorado Superintendent of the Year. Dr. Glass is an avid mountain biker and an alpine skier, and enjoys camping and playing and listening to all kinds of music. He and his wife, Sarah, who worked as a teacher for 17 years, have two children, Nora and Chase, and a dog, Sunny, and both of which attend Fayette County Public Schools. So excited to introduce Dr. Jason Glass. So Dr. Jason Glass, welcome to Education Perspectives.
Thanks, Liza. It's a delight to be with you and to talk about education in Kentucky, one of my favorite topics.
Absolutely. And you are such an amazing leader of it. And we are really, really pleased to have you today. One of the things that oftentimes we don't do is take that really 30,000 foot view on education. And so my first question is, why do we as a society invest in education?
Wow, that's a great and high level question that there are lots of complex answers to, and that I think all lead you to different decisions around how you structure education, what you think its focus should be. About 10 years ago, the Fordham Institute, which is a nonprofit in Ohio, a national nonprofit, they're centered in Ohio, did a study on what parents' values were for schools, or what it was called, what parents want. And it was, the focus was, what is it that you want your schools to be focused on? And the results came back really with a really diverse set of goals or outcomes. The first thing that people said they wanted out of their schools was what they called sort of pragmatic outcomes. So those are things like they wanted the school to prepare kids for jobs and be able to get a job and have a job and be economically independent and be economically competitive. So that was the sort of pragmatists. That was one finding that was out there. Another finding that emerged, however, was that parents wanted schools to prepare students to be participants in a democracy, that in our representative form of government. They wanted school to teach students about how to participate and what their responsibilities were as citizens. Another one that was out there was that parents wanted schools to teach students how to interact with people from different backgrounds and perspectives and beliefs, that there was a value in like exposure to different concepts and diversity, and that that was a strength. Another one that emerged was that parents wanted schools to expose kids to arts and humanities and the beauty that is life, so that they could appreciate being alive beyond just being a worker or being a citizen. Another was that they thought schools ought to be getting high test scores. Like some parents were focused on the outcomes that are measured on exams. And another group of parents was really focused on, I want schools to just prepare my kids for elite colleges or for college. So preparing for higher education. So that's sort of the range of different perspectives when it comes to why do we have public schools and what do they do? And I think it's hard to argue with any of those perspectives. They're all really important. So, but that's the challenge. It would be much easier if we just focused on one aspect of that and said, let's array all of our energies around delivering on that one aspect. But I think my answer would be that it's our responsibility, or what public schools exist or education exists, to support our young people into being well-rounded, happy, functional, thriving human beings who achieve their highest potential in whatever dreams and aspirations they have. So that can take on a lot of forms. Kids have a lot of talents and things that they're going to be successful at. And so we have to develop that and also help them find that. So I think that's the purpose of public education, or why education exists, is to try and do all those things, but chiefly to just develop good people.
Well, that is an excellent answer to the question. I appreciate it. And interesting a little later to hear about your research here in Kentucky about how that aligns with the Fordham information. But tell me first, what drew you to education in the first place? Why did you want to get involved in education?
Yeah, well, I come from a family of educators, so I guess I didn't fall too far from the tree. I'm a third generation Kentucky educator, and my grandmother was a teacher, and my parents were both teachers and career educators. So I grew up around school. My memories as a child were running around the school buildings before I was school aged with my parents, and being part of the school community. So it's just something that was sort of part of our family. It's our family business. It's our family DNA. It's just sort of what we do. My sister ended up being a teacher too. My brother works for Kentucky Educational Television, so he arguably fell the furthest from the tree, but not really very far either. So we're all working in education in some form. But I was also really interested in sort of the policy side of this, and really interested in governments and democracy and the American system particularly, but also international systems of government. And so the role that I'm in now really is the culmination of a lifelong effort and a career to sort of bring together a focus on education and a focus on policy and government. And so I really delight in the role that I have now as commissioner and getting to do this, especially in a state in Kentucky, which is where I grew up. I'm a native Kentuckian. So it's a state that gave a lot to me, and then I have the chance to give back to. But I really love the work that I do because it allows me to bring those two passions that I've always had and grew up around together.
That is so cool. And actually, those are passions that I too share, so I can completely relate to that. That's marvelous. Can you share with us the story of one of your favorite memories of your education journey?
Sure. Well, I think I know I romanticized it some, but I grew up in Meade County in Brandenburg. And, you know, it's a small town. I think when I grew up, there was definitely more cows than people in the community. And it's a town that when I was a kid there, there wasn't a stoplight even. It was just like a yellow flashy light to try and get people to slow down as they went through town. It was a very small town, rural educational experience or a place to grow up. But it was also a place that I can remember imprinted on me what a really powerful relationship between a community and its schools could look like. There was a strong sense of pride in the public school system in Meade County, and still is to this day. People were proud to be Green Waves, which is an odd sort of nickname for the sports team, but it had to do with the waves in the fields. When you look out across those rolling fields in Meade County, they were the Green Waves, and that was what that was about. And there was a lot of just community pride in that. And everybody went to the public schools from all walks of life, and that was the experience that people had, and they had together. Their grandparents and parents and themselves and their children went to those schools as well. And there were strong relationships that were there. So that memory growing up, just being in that community and seeing the way the community supported the school system. And then and the reverse was also true, that the school system was a huge support for the community. Most of the educated people in the community worked for Meade County Schools. It's the number one employer and most stable employer in the community. And so it created this sort of cadre of middle-class educated professionals that were in the community, and a really stabilizing element in the community that contributed to culture and life and the economy and I think good decision-making in the community in the time that I was growing up, that I really just came to really value.
Well, that is an amazing segue into United We Learn. because it sounds like the communities are really looking and hoping to be a part in that type of a way as far as being mutual supports for one another, the community and the school. So can you tell me a little bit about how United We Learn was conceived, maybe what you pulled out from the process of having all those wonderful meetings and where we stand today? What should people know and how can we get involved?
Sure. Well, I was hired as commissioner about 2 years ago. So it was September of 2020. So right in the middle of the pandemic, wherever that is. I don't know if it was the beginning or the middle or somewhere. It was during the height of the pandemic or the stresses that we were experiencing. So that's when I was hired into Kentucky. And the board who hired me had a lot of really lofty goals that they imprinted on me as important. Some of them were around getting through the COVID experience and then working to recover from it. And so we're still living through that. Another was around racial equity, just in the wake of the George Floyd murder and the Breonna Taylor killing and some statements that the board wanted to make around that and work that they wanted the education system to do in response to that. And then there was this sort of longstanding focus on deeper learning and making learning authentic, meaningful, relevant, and connected to the kinds of complex work students do when they leave, will need to do when they leave our school. So those were some of the priorities that I was hired in to execute. But I was really adamant at first that we needed to get through COVID. So don't destabilize things, create stability from a policy perspective and create support to allow schools through all the disruptions that they were going through to continue offering education, help them get back to in-person learning as quickly as they could, but just to provide stability. I mean, it was and still is a time that there was a lack of consensus on what the right things to do were. And there was no middle ground. I mean, you had people that were absolutely wanted schools closed down completely and people that wanted them open with no mitigation strategies at all. And those two sides were never going to agree. So, we tried really hard, I think, to try and find the middle path, recognizing that certainly the experiences of students were better if they were in person, but we needed to also keep the kids and the staff and the communities and the people that came in contact with each other as safe as possible. So that was sort of job one, was navigate COVID. But during that time, I also felt that it was important that I not come in with a set of prefabricated solutions for Kentucky, and that we not just take the board's priorities and run with them and say, this is what we're going to do. Because I've experienced and been part of a lot of top-down initiatives in my career that didn't always turn out very well, or they turn out okay for the short term, but people end up resisting them or unwinding them and they end up failing over the long term. So I really wanted this to be different and to make a future direction for Kentucky that was based on what Kentuckians wanted. And so we started listening tours all across the state and we conducted them virtually, but ultimately we had about 1,200 people that participated in them. And we had, we used an empathy interviewing structure for it, which means that we asked people to tell stories about their experiences and their aspirations that anybody would have. And from those stories or experiences, we were able to gather what people liked about the current system of education that we have in Kentucky and what they wanted to be different. So there was a sort of current state and future state that were drawn out in those interviews or conversations. We took all that data and we created a group of Kentuckians to analyze it then too. And we made that group very diverse economically, regionally, demographically, to try and make it look like Kentucky, but to go beyond even that and bring in voices and perspectives that haven't always been at the table when decisions were made. So we wanted to make sure that we were paying attention to that equity lens. It just wasn't a decision made behind closed doors by white males with power, that we needed to move beyond that and really involve everyone, all the perspectives in a community. So that group was called the Coalition for Advancing Education. They analyzed all of that data. They conducted even more interviews in their community. So now we had all this information. And out of that, they wrote a report that ended up being called United We Learn, of course, paying homage to the state's motto, United We Stand, Divided We Fall. So to boil down what's in United We Learn, it has three big ideas. They are make learning experiences more meaningful for students in a way that connects them to careers and life and experiences, the kinds of things that kids will need to do when they leave our schools to be successful as citizens, as workers in a competitive global economy. We needed to enrich the experiences for students. So that's kind of concept one or job one, change the experiences of students. The second big idea was that we needed to bring innovation to our schools, particularly around assessments and accountability. There was this real sense that our system of tests and measures and the way we rate schools had been a barrier to the kinds of shifts in learning people said that they wanted to bring about. So we needed to do something different and innovative when it came to our system of assessments and accountability. So that was the second big idea. And the third one was that people really liked being listened to and being empowered in these decisions. So they said, keep doing that. Involve your communities, involve people in your communities, especially groups that haven't always been listened to, like students and parents and people from historically underserved groups. Make sure that they continue to be at the table going forward. So those are the three big ideas, sort of recap that again: deep experiences, meaningful experiences for students, innovation, particularly around assessment accountability, and then finally, collaboration and connection with our communities. Now, all of that was wrapped with this focus on equity and saying that when we make these changes, we need to make sure that they're happening for everyone. No one gets left out, that every community matters, every family in every community matters, every child in every family matters. So that was a constant theme throughout the whole thing. And so that's the work that we're doing now with United We Learn. It really forms a strategic direction for us going forward. And I'm excited about it. I think it's the right work. And I think it's powerful because it's what Kentuckians told us they wanted for the future of their school.
That buy-in is so important. Anytime you try to change anything, it's, you know, you've referred to a lot of top-down initiatives, and even our poor teachers get to be, okay, what's the idea of the week? All right. And are you going to take anything off our plate in order to be able to put this on our plate? So I have the utmost respect for that approach. So tell me, are we at a point where we can, I know that you just started a new coalition kind of moving forward with the Kentuckians that are on that. What are they charged to do?
Well, we call this the United We Learn Council, and their role is really to create a way for us to sense what's happening in the state as this moves forward. There's a real intentional change approach that we're using that is different than the way most, I guess, governmental change efforts go about. So typically, someone on high or in power decides that this is the outcome that's desired. They array the laws, the policies, the incentives, the punishments, and the money to accomplish that, and they sort of direct it. I mean, so if you're looking at something short term or fairly simplistic, that can be effective. But what we're talking about here, again, going back to the main big idea in United We Learn, it's a change in the experience of students. So that's not something that you can just tell people to do. You need to support. People need to believe it. There has to be some experimentation and growth as people try different things, learn from that, and keep evolving, improving, and getting better. So we're taking this approach of recognizing that the work is not happening at the department, or it's not happening at Frankfurt. It's happening in schools. It's happening in these individual experiences that students are having. So that's where we've got to have an impact. And so it's thinking about how can we recognize that we have a lot of educators and students who are having those kinds of experiences. How do we lift those up, connect them, make more of that? We have people who would like to be able to facilitate and deliver those kinds of experiences, but they need some help and how to do that. So how can we provide that or connect them with others who can support them in that? So it's this whole notion of like there's this network of people that where this work is really happening, and how can we connect and support them? And then at the state level, we've got to have a way to sense how things are going, and is this working or what's not working? What do people need? What are people saying? What are people hearing? And have that web interconnected and coming back to us as a state agency that, so that we can support different directions going forward. So the purpose of that United We Learn Council is that this casts this broad net across Kentucky. And again, it's intentionally more diverse. It's intentionally regionally based. So we wanted to push outside of central Kentucky, make sure we had connections all across the state, bring in voices who aren't always at the table, make sure that we've got strong student represented, strong underrepresented historical groups involved, so that we could have this network of sensing of what's happening and then make adjustments. So that's really their purpose, is to just continue this involvement of people in communities and to make sure that we are have a feedback mechanism of what's really happening versus what we think is happening or what we hope is happening.
That's an excellent way to go about it, because that you do have to, it's hard sometimes to be able to get a sense as to what's going on completely out in the field that way. And doing this bottom up, it's not easy, but it's really, really valuable. So kudos to you for that. I want to just ask you very quickly, because one of those elements that you mentioned really rings a bell for me. I was on the Governor's SCAC Council for a while, and that whole piece about you get what you measure is really critical to this type of a change into driving this innovation and all that kind of thing. And so it's my understanding that Kentucky just got a grant that will allow us to maybe do some of those things. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting idea, but we do have federal support for it. A grant, competitive state assessment grant is what it was called. And Kentucky's grant, I think, is bolder and further reaching than other grant recipients and maybe anything that's been done in this area before, because it seeks to redesign our system of tests and measures to accomplish a couple of things. One is to go beyond just content acquisition. So a lot of us as adults and the kids now, they take tests that are about what are the math facts or math procedures, literacy, basic reading, writing, some scientific concepts. What of those things can you memorize and demonstrate? And all that's really important. Like, we're not saying that basic literacy, numeracy, and science isn't important. Of course it is. But what is necessary for someone to be a successful human being is to go beyond that. In fact, I think what we heard from Kentuckians is that many of the things that go beyond that are maybe more important than the content knowledge itself. So again, basic literacy, numeracy, science information is important, but what's more important is what can you do with that? And can you solve a complex problem? Can you adapt to a changing situation? Can you stand and deliver an effective presentation? Can you work with others on a difficult issue? Can you solve a problem for which there is no clear right answer or come up with a solution? So those are the kinds of things that adults have to wrestle with, especially adults that are in important decision-making roles. Frequently, the challenges that I have as commissioner and as a citizen, as a parent, as a father, there isn't a right answer. I can't just use math to solve that problem. I have to rely on a lot of different sources of information, and I have to do it with people. So how we bring those kinds of experiences into our schools is important. And then thinking about how we can measure those becomes important as well. So part of what we're trying to do is shift the measurements so that we're getting at some of those deeper learning concepts like critical thinking, problem solving, sustained reasoning, creativity, effective communication, those sorts of things, adaptability, agility. We're getting at some of those concepts. And then also coupled with that, in addition to different measures, also thinking about how the accountability system looks. And so that's the system that we rate our schools, how we rate our schools. I think what we heard from Kentuckians is that a lot of our communities have just stopped paying attention to the accountability system. They've heard the sky is falling for decades now. And the measures that are built into how we rate our schools are imposed from Washington or from Frankfurt. They don't really reflect the things that people in community value or don't value in their schools. So, I mean, if you ask people what makes a good school, the first thing you probably hear is that the kids are cared about and that there's somebody at school who knows them and loves them and believes in them. I mean, I think that's what most parents would say they want. That's what a good school would mean. And you can go on and it's a safe place and it's a welcoming place and it's a place that teaches kids how to get along and work together. And somewhere down the list, you'll get to test scores or what kids are learning. That's part of it. But we overemphasize what's measured on the test right now in the accountability system in comparison to what people in our communities say that they really want. So part of our effort too is to try and redesign accountability systems so that we're valuing or putting into them the things that people in communities say they want out of their schools. So it's locally driven, not federally driven, not state driven. It's coming from the community.
that's probably music to many people's ears, but it also means that we're not going to be seeing exactly the status quo that we've seen. Although in Kentucky, we've been really forward thinking and trying to move forward. But tell me a little bit, any initiative of this magnitude and change is going to present some obstacles. What are the biggest obstacles that you see towards implementing United We Learn?
Well, some are a sort of reactionary movement. So people just want to push education into a very basic form. All schools need to be doing is teaching reading, writing, math, and some science, and at the expense of all of these other things. And I would say yes, and schools need to be doing a heck of a lot more than that too. If we go back to the foundation of the American education system and why public schools exist, one of those foundational reasons was that the founding fathers believed that you needed an educated citizenry to be able to perpetuate a representative democracy. And they talked about that every acre in the land, every town would have a school that students could attend to learn how to be citizens and engage. And then going into, as we move past an agrarian society into a more industrialized society, there was real pressure from business and industry that we needed workers who were competent, who could show up on time, could be entrusted with complex tasks. So, I mean, those were a couple of big drivers for why public schools were first put in place that still are really important today. So I think we've got to acknowledge this reliance back on schools are just about reading, writing, math, and some science never really has existed. And it wasn't from the inception of schools or the reason that they existed today. And especially looking forward, just the acquisition of content is easy. The devices we all carry around that can bring all the information in the world to us, not even with fingertips anymore. You just have to ask, hey, Google or hey, Siri, a question, and it starts bringing you answers. Now, whether you can trust the answers and what you do with the answers is really important. And that's, I think, what we've got to work on. So I think one of our challenges is sort of a reactionary knee jerk back to a vision of education that was just based on basic content and basic information that really never has existed. So that's a challenge. And then I think a second challenge is policies and political maneuvering around education that are distractions that don't contribute to this. So there's all sorts of politics and policies that are put forward by elected officials. A lot of them are well-intentioned, but they're not supportive of what Kentuckians told us they wanted in their schools. They really told us that they wanted quality and well-supported public schools in their communities. And we sometimes see policies enacted in federally and at the state level that are corrosive to that goal. So I think we've got a few challenges ahead of us. But as you said earlier, Kentucky really has a vibrant and positive history in working toward educational change. And this deeper learning effort is in the DNA here. It's part of the fabric in Kentucky, and it goes back decades. So we didn't get to this point when I came here, and it wasn't just this report, United We Learn, that brought us to this point. It's really the culmination of decades of work where people wanted something meaningful and authentic for their children that goes back a long time.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I do indeed. So we're trying on Education Perspectives to reach out to multiple different levels within the education system, because as I went through, I found that efforts were often really siloed, that one group that was funded federally didn't necessarily come and have good conversations with the groups that are then funded by the state. And then even from changes for like from elementary to middle, everybody is so busy in their area that it's hard to get them to speak to one another and to understand what's happening at their level. So obviously you are kind of at the top level in our state. And so my question is for you, what do you want decision makers to know? And that could be legislators, it could be school board members, it could be citizens that are voting for representatives, But from your perspective, if anybody's making decisions in education, what would you like them to know?
I think that the most important thing for us all to remember is the only thing that really matters is what the student is experiencing. So we can change who operates schools, we can change the funding around schools, change the procedures and laws around schools, but unless it positively changes the experience the student is having, it doesn't matter. It's not really different. And it's not different in a way that's preparing that student for their future. So oftentimes we get in these political, so what I would say to policymakers, legislators, governors, people in Congress, is to ask, is the policy that you're advocating for and pushing for, is it helping change the experience that kids are having in our schools in a way that is preparing them for their future? And is it doing it at a scale that's going to make a difference? So I think that's a good lens to ask around policy questions. So when you talk about things that sort of weaken public schools or defund public schools or weaken the teaching profession or limit the experiences that students can have, are those things contributing to a system that can create powerful, vibrant learning experiences for students or not? So I always come back to that. And I frequently talk or sometimes talk about these sort of, policymakers operate at this macro level. Think like a state. It's about the law and the regulation and who has power and who's got authority and what's the system around this. All that's important, but it's only important to the extent that it makes an impact on the micro level, meaning what is this individual student's experience and is that preparing them for the future? So everything's got to track back to that. So that, I think that's what I would say to policymakers, is evaluate what you're advocating for, what your idea is based on that. Is it going to positively impact the student in a profound way that prepares them for the fast-moving future that's ahead? And is it going to do it at scale?
Very, very eloquent and absolutely agree with you. I think that that is a fabulous lens through which to look. And I know we have a huge boat to turn here, but it feels like the wind is in our sails. And just really appreciate you and all that you have done so far for United We Learn and for the kids here in Kentucky. And thanks so much for being on Education Perspectives.
Thanks, Liza. It's been a delight to be with you. And I know that you're a longtime advocate for public schools and education in Kentucky. So just know we are grateful and appreciative of you as well.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Education Perspectives. Feel free to share your thoughts on our Facebook page. Let us know which education perspectives you would like to hear or share. Please subscribe and share with your friends.